recording?
It is recording. I can't put that on the table because it makes too much noise when you put it down.
I think the gain's too high.
Testing, testing.
Have you been playing with the knobs?
I think your little daughter has been playing with the knobs.
Certainly hope not.
No, no. This is not recording, is it?
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm definitely cutting it out before I put it on the internet.
I think that'd be a good idea. All right.
You're on the directional one. That's the one that you had last week. So you got to make sure you're talking into
okay.
it properly.
Okay, I'll speak into it properly this time. I'm just going to hold it right up next to me. Okay. All right. I think we're pretty good with sound. Tests, 1, 2, 3.
3, 2, 1.
Yep, can you
hear
me?
Away we go.
G'day everybody and welcome back to the podcast, Control, Alternate and Delete. My name's Lockie.
Do you want to go again? Or are you just going to
push
on?
It's and delete, isn't it? No, it's all delete.
It is. Geez, you've had one Canadian club and dry.
And a beer.
And a beer? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's about your limit, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if I can have many more. All right.
Ready to go.
Get everybody and welcome back to the podcast, Control, Alternate or Delete.
Take two.
My name's Lockie.
I'm Matt.
And welcome to the podcast. Today, we've got a little bit of a different podcast set up. We're going to be answering some FAQs that we've come up with. Here's some of the questions we've been asked through the week, and we thought we might put them on the podcast and answer them.
That's right.
Or answer them. Which one do you use? Answer or answer?
Answer. All right. I'm not a flog.
Who uses answer?
I don't know. But I could have just offended whoever uses answer.
If you use answer,
please write a letter to Lockie at podcast.melbourne to complain.
Yep, I will. And or you can possibly comment on the Facebook post.
That's true. Yeah, there is also that.
Yeah.
Nice one. All right, so let's get straight into it. What do you reckon, Lockie?
Yep, we're going to get started with the first question. Now, this is a question that we come up with through the week, and it's about, you know...
Erica, you can't come in now. Hop out, please.
That's all right.
Lock the door. Come on. Hop out. Hop out. We need to do this quickly, and then we'll come out and play, all right?
Do we have to start all over again?
Start again. I'll leave that recording, so
yep.
It's still there.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks for joining, Erica.
Thanks for joining.
I'll kick off with the topics because I'm trying to hide it from the video. Because it's in the video otherwise.
Yeah.
I just want them to think that we're supernatural about it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Supernatural.
Just act natural.
Get everybody and welcome back to the podcast, Control, Alternate or Delete. My name is Lockie.
I'm Matt and this is only take number 3.
So welcome. So we're going to do something a little bit different in today's podcast. We're going to answer some of the answer. I'm not sure which one I'm going to use.
Please comment and
please
update us on
it. Just do you use answer, do you use answer. We want to know. But we're going to answer some of the frequently asked questions that we get throughout our weeks and days at work. We thought it might be a perfect little setup just to answer some of those questions. And
yep.
We're going to kick it off, Matt, with the first question.
I've got a beauty, this one.
That you get asked all the time.
Yes. So what is the best Microsoft Office 365 Office 365 license for my business? There's a lot of licenses out there, Lockie. And
there's a lot of different ones.
I can guarantee that most companies probably don't use all the applications that they get in their Microsoft 365
all the features.
Licenses. That's correct. So it's one that gets asked a lot. So we're here to answer it today.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to kick it off.
Go for it.
By saying It depends on what type of business you are. If you're in certain industries, such as non-profit, you get...
There are programs.
There are programs where you can find discounted licensing quite with full featured Office 365 functionality. However, for the majority of small businesses that we look after, it depends on how secure you want to be and what features you want to use. But as a baseline product, my answer would be most probably Office 365 Business.
Business Essentials.
Business Essentials would be the baseline. You do get a little bit of security, you get the full applications, and you get your mail hosted up in the cloud.
Look, it's pretty much the baseline. Yeah, you're right. It's the absolute minimum. Although it is moving towards more that Microsoft 365 Business option, which is pretty similar, but you throw in a copy of Office, so it's always up to date, and the added security of the enterprise mobility and security suite. So,
Device management and everything.
Yeah,
like
correct,
that.
And making sure everything's secure. So, you're right, the baseline is Business Essentials.
Yeah.
That includes all your basics. It includes your Teams, includes your email, SharePoint, OneDrive, and online versions of the Office suite in case you want to be able to edit in browser. So, you can be fully operational on that.
Yeah.
And it's probably a very close competitor to the G Suite as far as that goes. And it's probably the bare minimum starting point. Now, it used to be that you would just have Exchange Online Plan 1 and just have email.
Yep.
But nowadays, it only costs about a dollar more and you've got the whole lot.
Yeah. And then obviously you want to be making sure that you have a look at all those features as well. And just determining what features you need.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of people we see people getting hacked and stuff externally or from overseas and everything like that. So if you want that additional security access, you're probably going to want to look at something like your Microsoft 365 suite.
That's right,
So, however, non-profits, let's just talk about them just for a brief second.
Sure.
Because they do get...
non-profits get some donated licenses, so at absolutely no cost.
Yep.
But then also anything above and beyond those sort of default SKUs, which is the Business Essentials, is a no-cost option, a donated option, and also the Enterprise E1, which is a very similar sort of SKU. It's very heavily discounted pricing.
Yeah.
So, like for instance, the corporate Microsoft 365 Business is $27.50 RRP.
Yep.
That's $6.90 with non-profit. So it's a big jump.
Yeah.
There is also an academic program, so you can buy academic pricing, which is also discounted, not quite as heavily as the non-profit, but it is still worthwhile to go through the process of getting qualified because better in your pocket than somebody else's, right?
Absolutely, that's right. If you can get those full function applications for a discounted price, it's definitely worth taking down that
absolutely.
Option. All right, hit us up with your second question. That you got asked this week.
Yeah, so this was an interesting one. So why is a client of mine receiving an email that I didn't send them? And in this context, that email was dodgy.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it's really important to take a zero trust approach to anything. So I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there, specifically in the accounts teams at small businesses, that would have received emails from the boss saying, please go do this or please transfer this amount of money to here and just do it and get it done.
And we've heard some horror stories.
There has been some horror stories and it can vary from send this bank transfer to this company, quickly pay for this invoice, just do this, or even go and buy iTunes or JB Hi-Fi, like some sort of voucher.
Who would
that
buy
redeemed.
iTunes vouchers?
I don't know who would fall for that. I mean, it's a silly thing, right?
We're going to have to get someone on the podcast that's fallen for that in the past.
Anyway, I'll leave that one alone. So, look, at the end of the day, it is possible. But typically, when you look at the email address that it comes from, it's not the person that you're expecting it from. So you've got to be really careful when you look at those sorts of things and make sure that you're really checking the email. But that zero trust thing comes down to a case of, are you expecting that type of email from that person?
Yep.
And particularly, is that language in tune with what that person would normally ask? And if you're not sure, don't reply to it. Pick up the phone and ask the question.
Exactly. Because some of those email addresses can be quite hard to read. Because we've all seen those messages on Facebook and stuff where it's your eyes trick yourself and you can make out the sentence because you're just naturally used to reading.
The typical thing with a human is that if you get the first and the last letters of a word, you can mix up the jumbled words in between to do it. So you identify that, especially if it looks like it's coming from that person.
Exactly.
So,
and that's how scams work.
Yeah, and look, I've seen where companies, or sorry, cyber criminals will go and register domains that are so close, a .com instead of a .au, a .co instead of a .com.au or something along those lines, for just a subtle difference.
Yep.
Just to have that extra layer of tricking. But the ones that I've seen very recently have been Gmail accounts or the like, so...
Well, for a matter of, it's quite smart. And I know we've talked about scams in a different podcast earlier on, but if you could pay $10 for a domain and get tens of thousands of dollars.
It's good ROI, isn't it?
Oh, jeez.
And you wonder why that we think that this is a business for people.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So, be careful with that. Zero trust with anything on that. Which kind of moves on to the next point, which is also around security.
So what is our third FAQ?
Third FAQ is, why do I need MFA?
Ooh.
And this is the Christmas edition.
Ooh.
As we're coming live from the Christmas party here.
We like the Christmas party.
We do. And it's that time of year where everybody's having a bit of fun, they're trying to wind down, the guard's down, and when people are away...
Everyone's in a rush before Christmas.
Correct. When do you think the best time to strike for dodgy emails and click-throughs are?
Easter.
Do you want to try again?
Christmas.
Hey, there we go. I'll get you a prize later. So cyber criminals are going to take advantage of the fact that you're in a rush. They know those. They know this. It's social engineering at its best, right? So these people are smart. They're looking for those sorts of things. When they attack, they'll do it at night while you're away, all those sorts of things, right? They don't sleep the same sort of hours that we do. Generally, they're not in our time zone, for starters.
Yep.
But they're also going to be looking for opportunities where they can do the most damage without being caught. So some IT guys like going on leave every now and then around these sorts of times. So what better opportunity to try and hack in than then? So
absolutely. So talk to us a little bit, just a couple of dot points about MFA. It's free.
It's free with Office 365.
Right.
There is zero cost to enable it.
Right.
It's just time, and it's very, very simple process. You just need to make sure that your applications that you're connecting it to are reasonably modern. So
we're
talking Office 2013 and later.
Okay.
iPhones are fine. Androids are fine.
Right.
They just need to support what's called modern authentication.
Okay.
And then you can enable it. There is other ways that you can work around it, but that's the simplest way to do it.
Can I ask a question without notice? This
FAQ.
FAQ. Right.
Yes.
Now, talk to us a little bit about the difference between MFA and I know with Microsoft 365 you get conditional access.
Yes.
So, Tell us what the difference is.
Okay. I might not do this the justice that it deserves, but conditional access is a bit smarter.
Write this down.
No, don't write it down. Don't take it for gospel.
Okay.
Give me a chance to research it and confirm. No, it's just a bit smarter. So it'll be able to look at things like if your office has a business-grade internet connection and has a static IP that does not change, you can disable MFA because the theory is that the location is a form of authentication. You have to physically be in that network in order to be allowed to pass.
Yep.
So MFA in this sense is just a way to be able to prevent people from outside of your business from being able to get access to the resources on Office 365 and other applications as well. So it's been commonplace with banks for a long time to have those codes, one-time passwords, if you like, to prevent people from outside being able to get access. So,
okay, cool. And conditional access is a bit smarter, so you can... what you can do is you can, if someone's computer isn't up to spec, they haven't got up-to-date software, you can actually stop them from accessing
network. So that's the the action side of the conditional access. So if you don't have if you're not compliant, so you can configure compliance policies and say that if you don't have a antivirus product which could be third party to Microsoft that's up to date, and if you don't have all the patches within a certain time period, we're going to isolate you and not give you access to your resources.
Yep. Wow.
So really powerful stuff, and it just means that's the type of automation that when there's an incident, you want an immediate reaction to it.
Cool.
And even in those sorts of license levels, you look at things like being able to review the portal to see where people are logging on from and flagging people when, Bob's logged in here in Melbourne, but then he's also logged in the Netherlands. It can't be in two places at once.
Come on,
something
Bob.
Must be going on there.
Yeah.
So unless he's jumped on a VPN and he's doing some nefarious sort of actions, which is possible.
Well, Bob's going to have to pull his socks
up. You know what Bob's like. You know what Bob's like.
He's going to have to pull his socks
up. He is. Alrighty.
Let's go on to the next question, even though I asked an additional question. Let's go on to the next one. What do we have?
All right. Next one is, this one's more of a, this is one, I'll start again. Should I use a cloud key for my Unify equipment or should I use a hosted cloud key? So Unify is making a name for themselves in the sort of consumer and small office network sort of space.
Yep.
They're sort of a
just want to define what Unify is.
All right, so Unify is a product line by Ubiquiti. So it's networking equipment, so wireless, routers, switches, sort of all the basics that you need to be able to run your network at home. And they all get controlled by a device called a cloud key, which is a physical piece of infrastructure. But nowadays, things are all going to the cloud, so you can hook up that to a cloud controller. So it's which one should we use? And this is just one example of it, but it probably talks to the premise of whether I should use cloud or whether I should buy equipment for on-premise.
Mm.
So,
well,
do you want to answer the question? What's your take on it, Lachlan?
Well, my take on it is that there's that much security. The cloud is so, because the cloud is so exposed, they do actually increase the security quite significantly around those sort of applications. So it is quite safe up on in the cloud. On-prem, you do have risks as well. People don't often think of the risks on-prem because it is a physical device within your building.
Yes.
So you do have, there's risks, there's pros and cons to both. My preference, because it's simpler, would be the cloud.
Okay, yeah. So my, and I agree with you, which is rare, I realise, but I'll back you up on that.
Because I'm always right.
Yeah, sure. The thing with the cloud is that they've, because it has a bigger exposure, as you say, they have more security. And you don't realise that you need that security until you get an incident that goes, oh, you know what, maybe we need more security. What's the best way to do it? Well, probably moving to the cloud, realistically. But those things are inherently built into those platforms. If Microsoft gets hacked, they're stuffed. Their reputation goes down the drain. They lose a lot of money. So they're going to invest that money to prevent that from happening.
And they do invest a lot of money.
They do. They do. One such example is that the Microsoft Threat Research released an article or a piece of documentation about a week and a half ago now, that they've done some research on 3 billion compromised credentials, and they've cross-checked that, I believe, against Office 365's Azure AD, the Microsoft accounts, and found 40 million accounts that have similar credentials or the same credentials, which means that it's not something that Microsoft has had a leak for, it's other applications, but because people use the same username and password at different areas, that platform is now exposed. So they've started resetting people's passwords. So they lose access, and then they need to get their IT admin to reset it, which just protects their accounts proactively. And I haven't seen Microsoft do that before, but it's a really great initiative to prevent harm from coming to those customers.
It's brand reputation at the end of the day, isn't it? Because you've got the other competitors coming in, you've got AWS and the G Suite sort
Google,
of stuff.
Yep.
Coming through, so they don't want to be known as a weaker weaker system, and I think it's really
less
smart.
Security.
Less security.
Yeah.
Obviously, with security being, with 5G and everything coming out, there's going to be a lot more of this security features and stuff that need to be not only enabled in your business, but also your home.
Yes.
So Microsoft don't want to be seen as weak in that area.
No, that's right. And I was reading something even just yesterday on LinkedIn that popped up, and it was a headline reading, so I didn't read too much detail, so forgive me. But the NIST security framework, cybersecurity framework, that's a standard in the US primarily, released an article that said their recommendation was that all your IoT devices, so your Internet of Things, things that are, you know, your connected fridge, your connected kettle, all those sorts of devices should be on a separate network.
Yeah.
Completely. They should have no access to your normal network. And they're talking at home and in business. It's getting to a point where there's so many connected devices nowadays that it's a huge security risk that could lead to further access to the network.
That's good in theory. However,
difficult to execute on.
Well, there's a lot of people that wouldn't know how to separate their network, and
that's exactly where the opportunity comes for cyber criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly
and that's
the same.
Why we've just released a product. Oh, no, we haven't really.
Do we have a product?
We've got a new product called.
We're not organized. We are not organized enough to have a product. I'm just going to put it out there. We've got nothing to sell here.
We're going to protect all your home equipment. No.
Yeah. All you do is you take the power cord out, and then you're sweet.
Yeah. You disconnect the network cable. Yeah. Yeah.
No internet, no power, and you're awesome.
Yeah, I don't really see the need to hook up your fridge to the internet just yet. But I was one of those.
But those things are coming.
Yeah, like and I was one of those guys that didn't want an iPhone at the start. I stuck with my Samsung flip phone.
Yeah. You know, they've brought the... somebody's brought one
the
of those.
The Razr.
The Razr, yeah. Motorola have brought one out.
That was a good phone. Didn't have a good battery life. Good phone.
No phones have a good battery life.
No, the
Razr
had a particularly
3310.
Bad one.
If Nokia you've
ever had a Razr, comment on the Facebook post, because I know... Everyone's going to be complaining about the Motorola Razr. It was a horrible phone. Nothing like the Nokia 6610. 6610?
3310 was
3310.
The
3310.
Snake
Oof, 2. Jeez. They were a good
flagship.
Brick. You could drop that from your moving car and it'd still be okay.
Yeah. No, that those were the days.
I'd go back to that.
Are we showing our age now?
I think so.
Yeah.
We've lost the millennials.
Should I think we technically fall into the millennials category?
Do we?
Right?
Okay, we're lost.
All right. Anyway, so next one.
Next
staying
question.
On the Microsoft theme.
Mm-hmm.
We love Microsoft.
Oh, we do.
They're everywhere.
They are.
Bill's watching. Does
Sponsor
Microsoft
our show, Bill?
please, Bill. You got enough money. Does Microsoft back up our Office 365 data? That is the question.
Now, I can answer this one, being full-on tech.
The way you said that means that's the only one that you've been able to answer so far.
Yeah, well,
no?
This one I can answer.
Okay.
Answer or answer. I'm not.
You can do
I'm
both.
Still not sure.
Why not have both?
Why not have both? Now, Microsoft will archive your data, but they will not back it up.
So they'll take it's all
30
care
days.
And no responsibility.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's about right.
So there's multiple stages of deletion, but it's not really a backup to what people are used to. Okay.
No. So you do need to get a separate piece of software.
Or a system or a process.
Or a system or a process to back up your Microsoft 365 tenant.
Yep. Okay, so you're talking about SharePoint or OneDrive if you use your files in Teams and the like.
You need to back all that stuff up.
Yeah. Yep.
And you need to get your backup about it.
Oh, you didn't just go there, did you?
I did. And we lost 3 listens.
Yeah, that's right. We're down to -2 now. So
take it off.
So Microsoft have all care, no responsibility on backup. So get your backup in order.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm get your backup about
joke.
Your backup.
Not going to, I was going to repeat that part. All right, next one. Reasons to automate your signature.
Ooh.
What are the benefits of that?
Automate
hit
your signature?
With a couple of
now, we're talking about electronic signatures. We're not talking about the signature of the box. Oh, we're talking about email signatures.
That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Or are you talking about document signing?
We're also talking about document signing.
Well, Well, it looks like we're going to have two FAQs here.
We've got two. All right, let's start off with the email signature first.
Yes.
So automating that, you can get software that will stamp it on the way out.
Yep. On the way out of the server site, so you would generally send no signature.
That's right.
It's important to note.
Yep. So you wouldn't see a signature until you click send, and your recipient would see the signature.
Correct. But the technology nowadays allows those companies to then go back and put it in. So when you have it in your sent items, you can then see it. So if you forward that email, the signature appears as if the recipient was there. So that's quite handy.
Yep. And one thing I would consider when setting up an automatic signature is just check your image size. We do see a lot of companies sort of just go, you know what, we're just going to chuck our logo right in here. They don't resize it. And when it gets sent to a mobile, it gets massive.
Yeah, it looks very big, doesn't it?
Oh, it's big.
So it's got to be fit for purpose. You've got to design it. Yeah. Take your time.
Don't grab it straight out of Photoshop and put it in.
No, that's not a good idea. It's a good piece of advice.
Mm.
And it's really handy, particularly for users that use iPhones, because this seems to be a little known fact, is that if you generate a new email from an iPhone, it goes in rich text format, which doesn't have all the same formatting. So it's the middle formatting option for email. So if you want it to look nice and look the same all the time, having the signature put on at the end of the chain on the way out of the server is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, rich text is not pretty.
It's not too bad. It's better than plain text. Oh. Plain text strips everything out.
Rich text gives you the formatting, but the image is low quality.
Terrible. Yep.
Yeah. Let's talk about quickly electronic signing.
Document signing.
We see a lot of companies are sort of going down this path now, and the reason for that is because they don't like all the paperwork.
Yep.
And we don't like paper either, being in technology.
Not being able to write properly.
That's probably the reason.
Terrible handwriting.
Yeah. So electronic signatures are moving forward. Why would you consider using one, and where should you start?
Yeah. So I use it for quite a few things. So even things like Microsoft changed their terms and conditions for the Office 365, the cloud agreement for customers. They make that our responsibility to get the customers to sign a document. So I just take their terms and conditions, throw that onto a document, put the signing fields on it, and send it to the customer.
Yep.
What it means is that I have to have a signed copy of that document, and it takes the customer 30 seconds to click two fields and then click finalize, and we're done.
Oh,
just simple.
And they can date it and everything like
that. And then it's saved. I don't actually have to do anything with it, because if I need to present it to Microsoft later, I just go into the portal and download it. And there it is.
Yeah. So away it goes.
Nice and easy. But even today, I'd sent out a managed IT services contract to a customer.
Yep.
So I was able to just put everything in the document from a pre-configured template, which I can then just generate and send to the next one each time. And it's all very consistent.
Yep.
And it's just the trusted way moving forward, the digital signature.
So small businesses could easily have a look at that to see, even B2C, it would really work, business to customer.
Absolutely.
Business to business, it all works really, really well.
You want to make sure that if you're going to invest in a document signing solution, you get the right one. So there are a few different ones out there.
Give us some names.
All right, so DocuSign by Adobe is a big one.
Yep.
And also PandaDoc is another quite a big one.
Yep.
I'll throw a budget option out there. That's just one that I actually use. It's called DocHub.
Yep.
And that's pretty solid as well. It costs about $11 a month. So it's a lot more cost effective than some of the others.
Yeah.
And it's powerful.
PandaDoc is about 50.
58 USD.
Yeah.
So it adds up, but that does have a lot of good integrations. So when you're talking about whether you can streamline access to Xero or to other applications, you've got to consider that when you're when you're talking about the value. It's not all about that cost.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good option. To just simplify it, because I had one instance the other day where I had to provide something on a company letterhead as a logo.
Okay.
I don't have a company letterhead, and how can you verify?
I know
whether
a guy
that's genuine
that could create you one.
But how do you know whether that's genuine or not anymore?
Yeah, you're right. You're very
like
wrong.
It just seems like an old school way of doing it. So, I think the document signing thing is the way of the future, because it took me 2 minutes to put the contract together. with all the particulars for the customer. Yep. Once you've configured it, it's just, it's 2 minutes. And if you're going to do a lot of them, it just makes life so much easier to invest that time up front.
So if you've got like a, if you're a gym or something like that with a standard contract, it just makes sense.
Yeah, look, quite possibly. I mean, there might be gym specific software out there that can also handle that side of thing. Yep. So I'd definitely be considering that. I can't remember the name of the one that's the gym. Well, we can ask with our special guest for next week because he runs a gym. So
there we go.
We'll be able to ask him a little
all
bit
about
that.
Gyms.
The software.
Might have to get some other advice off him as well.
Yeah. What sort of advice are you looking for?
Well, getting summer ready, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. We can do that.
We'll have to ask.
You're probably a little bit behind the eight ball, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think summer's coming for a while, though, so you got a little bit of time.
Yeah, might be able to do an eight-week program or something.
Yeah, that's the go. So,
what's our next question?
That's
enough
it.
Talking about my... Oh, that's
we're done.
It.
Oh, we're done.
That went quickly,
blew through
didn't
those,
it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're doing pretty well. Oh, we are super efficient, though.
We are getting
very,
a lot better.
We're very, very good at our casting now.
Yeah, we're getting a lot better.
Yeah, and it helps that we haven't been interrupted by any little children in this recording.
We could have
been. We locked the door.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good. So,
all right. Well, we better get back.
Yes, we've got to get back
Christmas,
to the party.
Christmas party.
You finished your drink, and I need another one as well.
Yep.
So,
well,
on that note,
we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Did you want the other?